The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to go a lot of different directions today. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Good to have Stuart on board. The recent announcement of the NCAA college players in basketball who declare for the NBA draft. I want to talk to Stuart. Well, what about football? What happens here with the NCAA ruling with basketball? And can a kid leave college and then go into the draft? And if he doesn't get drafted in the right round, does he come back? And does the coach want him back? Is the coach giving away his scholarship? Does the school have to pick him up on the hook? Is he become a free agent? All of that in football with the ruling by the NCAA. We'll have Stuart Mandel with us. Also talk to him. Who's more interesting to him? Is it Kevin Sumlin's story with U of A or Herm Edwards with Arizona State? Goody at the Movies is with us today. Now, last week, Goody was a tad grumpy. There were people that kind of sensed a political leaning from Bill, which we never get. I will try to put that behind me today, but when I talked to AZ Central and Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic, Bill Goodykunz, you never know what will come out of Bill's mouth, or even mine for that matter. So we'll have Bill with us today. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. You've got to do it with life insurance. Guys, when was the last time you took a good, long, hard look at your personal situation and said, you know, if something were to happen to me today or down the road, if I had a terminal illness or anything along those lines or just got wiped out, what would happen? Would everybody be protected? You've got to protect what matters most, and that is with your family, and you do it through Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, log on to Sagicor Now. We thank them for their support. We are self-funded. We appreciate our partners. You will see them in our breaks. Please go support them. All right, with that said, so the Diamondbacks are in an interesting spot. That's something I want to talk about. I'm going to wait on the NCAA story until the next segment before we get to Stuart. But yesterday it was in the news cycle of college players in basketball can now declare for the NBA draft, get an agent, and all of that. This even includes high school. So I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive, my own personal view, and a little bit with Stuart from The Athletic, Stuart Mandel, here in a bit. The PGA Championships are going on right now, the fourth major. I really only care about Tiger and Phil in this one. I would like to see Ricky Fowler finally get on the board, but I say that every time a major comes up. Justin Thomas is the defending champion. It's interesting to me to see how the season has played out, where it has been a lot of Tiger mania. Now Tiger and Phil are parlaying that into their adventure on the golf course over Thanksgiving that we will watch in prime time. And I'm imagining gobs of people. The Cardinals have their preseason game against the Chargers on Saturday. And I guess, from my point of view, Eric, you're going to the game. You're going to go.
I am.
Are you going in a working capacity?
Or? Yes, of course. Why would I go as a fan to a preseason game?
Well, I you just never know.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
You just never know.
Yep, I am going to be covering the game for Sports 360 AZ.
So if Christian Kirk catches a touchdown, Christian Kirk breaks off a 40-yard run, then we have something to talk about on Monday.
We do.
If Josh Rosen throws three interceptions or three touchdowns, we have something to talk about on Monday.
There will be something to talk about on Monday. Because there's always a storyline or two from the preseason. Unless it's the fourth preseason game where there really are no storylines to talk about. Like none. Zero.
But is there a fantasy football implication here? David Johnson and how he looked?
They're not going to. I mean, the starters are going to play so little. If David Johnson has four carries for 6 yards, do I think the sky is falling in preseason game number one? Yeah,
yes,
but I'm not that. I'm not one of those people.
You're not one of those people.
No.
You know what I find that is fortunate in our world is there's less and less people that actually do put stock into preseason football.
You and I disagree on several things, but we do not disagree on preseason football at all.
No.
You and I are in lockstep when it comes to football in August, as you like to call it.
But I'll give you an example of why I think there is something interesting. So Jameis Winston's going to be suspended for the first 3 games of the season, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is his backup.
So and Teddy Bridgewater is on the trade block.
And Teddy Bridgewater is on the trade block, but I'm just talking about Tampa Bay for a second.
Right.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, that Fitzpatrick lights it up the first 3 weeks of the season. Jameis Winston has become a bit of a load down there in Tampa. So I'm kind of looking at that situation saying, you know, they've got some talent down there, wide receiver. They've got some good players. If Fabs were with us right now, we could go through it. So here in August, you know, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is on the sidelines just holding his helmet, as he probably should in Tampa Bay, I could buy that. Throw Jameis Winston out there and say, you're going to play two quarters every one of these stupid games.
They paid him, though. So
that should be the punishment.
That's the interesting juxtaposition. Because, yeah, he's been a complete head case.
He has.
So.
But in the Cardinals situation, if Chandler Jones doesn't make a tackle, I don't care. If the Chargers go up and down the field, I don't care. Well, it was the number ones against the number ones. Let me fill you in on something, guys. These two teams play each other later this year.
Yep.
So, again, this game is going to be about as dull it could ever be. And anybody can't take any – nobody can take anything from this game on Saturday night other than please have running clock, please get it over with, and just nobody get hurt, because they're not going to say – they're not going to show anything. And when the game is over – I can guarantee you, when you go in the locker room, it was good to be out there. It was good to take some hits. How'd it feel, Christian, to get your first NFL hit? Felt good, man. It was really good, man, to be out on the field. It's really something else. Great to be with my teammates. I love my team. Can't wait to get back to practice on Monday. Got it. Put me to sleep.
In a way, it's sort of like the high school scrimmage that I saw you at last night out in Albuquerque, a.k.a. where you live.
I can see Tucson from my house.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't get guys hurt. It's good to hit other players. You know, go through the routine, make it a nice, clean game. That's sort of, I'm sure, what the Cardinals and Chargers are hoping for, because as A.Q. Shipley found out, I mean, the preseason can be delicate, and everything needs to be handled because guys get hurt every year, and unfortunately, he got hurt this week in practice.
Okay, so. But let's just say that Josh Rosen goes out, and he ends up being the guy that starts and plays the most, right? And let's just say that he's having problems with center snap. Okay, that's something that on game one I would expect.
Yep.
I would expect there to be so many flags on the field in this game for the helmet to helmet.
There will be.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be 4 hours of hell or close to it. And that's it. So.
No, but it won't be that bad.
No, but it's interesting for Christian Kirk. It's interesting for Josh Rosen. And that, and to me, that's about it. There's a lot of games going on this weekend. Andrew Luck being out on the field for the Colts, yeah, I think that's somewhat interesting because he hasn't been out there. And if you're not out there and you have no idea what your arm strength looks like, and it's been a long time since he's been on the field. As Eric said, Teddy Bridgewater's out on the trade block. That's interesting to me. The fact that Carson Wentz may not take one snap yet be the starter in Philadelphia on opening weekend, that's interesting to me. I'm not sitting here saying the NFL isn't interesting. It's just you have to dig really hard when it comes to August, and I found a couple of angles there. The Diamondbacks, this next week and a half is going to be somewhat defining of the season. Yeah, that sounds wishy-washy. I can't just definitively say it's all going to come down to this, but come on. They have a half-game lead in the division. They're going out on the road for 9 games. Those 9 games are against the Reds, the Rangers, and the Padres, 3 teams that stink. And so if you can't figure it out, if you come back off that road trip at 4-5 or even 6-3 at like the absolute bare minimum this time of year, those teams have nothing to play for. Those are the clubhouses that are getting ready for their fantasy football draft for the offseason. There's no reason for them to be edgy. There are the professional players within each one of those teams. I get it, but they're out of the race. So if you come off of this at like, I don't know, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, it's come on. They've been a 500 team here as of late. I think they've won 6 of their last 10. It hasn't been like this impressive juggernaut, but it is the dog days of the season. They're in first place today. The Dodgers play the Rockies this weekend, so there's going to be some separation or some going back and forth between those two teams. It just is. Up next, I'm going to switch gears over to the college platform because yesterday the NCAA decided to come out on college basketball and say that players can declare for the NBA draft. They can hire an agent. So what does this mean, and what are some of the pratfalls of it? Also some college football, too. That's next, sports360az.com. Log on, check out our content. Back after this timeout. So shortly we'll have Stuart Mandel with us, Stuart, editor-in-chief at The Atlantic, college football co-host of The Audible that he does every week with Bruce Feldman, which is one of the better podcasts that are out there. When I'm not here, I am on podcasts. I just, they're really good. And Bruce and Stu do a terrific job every week on a national platform. That's one of those that you really should put in your podcast library. And that is The Audible. And he doesn't pay me to say that. So I'm just throwing it out there. He's pretty good. Do you listen to that one, Eric? You in on that podcast at all?
I do not. Nope.
You do podcasts at all?
I do not.
You just do music when we're done?
Music, and I do this thing right here.
Oh, your phone.
I write.
Yeah, you're always busy. All right, I'm just checking in with you. Go to eat the movies here.
I don't spend, my commute is so much shorter than yours in the morning.
I don't have a commute. I have a flight. Yeah, commute sounds really nice and safe and everything. I have a transatlantic commute, it feels like.
And often when I'm in my car driving, you call me. So
I have nothing else to do.
There is no time for me to start a podcast.
I was doing like the 8:15 call check-in with you. I want to talk about the show. And then it's just, you know, this drive is forever. So, all right.
I'm sorry.
Let me get over here on this college thing. Because yesterday, I started getting some notes from people in the basketball world saying, what do you think? Especially the high school and college world. So the NCAA comes out yesterday and says a college player in basketball who declares for the NBA draft can now hire an agent. This could also happen with high school players. It's not as though I have to take a shower as it is after I go to club basketball games. Now I really have to get sanitized because there's going to be agents. There's a 7'1" center here in the Valley this year. He's over at Bella Vista, and he's really good. And there's going to be people, and there are already people that are all over him.
What's Bella Vista? Explain to the people that live in the greater Phoenix area what that is.
It's not a high school.
It's a prep school, middle school?
Yes, prep.
Prep school, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those. He's 7'1". He's one of those that's not – they're not going to miss. So, yeah, he's doing that deal. And when you're 7'1", people are going to come in from all angles. I have only seen him on tape. I have not seen him in person. When I went out to see this kid over at Perry, who's a 6'11 freshman, Dylan Anderson, there were some questionable dudes hanging around in the stands. And questionable by that, as soon as he starts playing, they flip open their second phone that they have with them, and they're describing his game to people. To me, that's just creepy. And then the guys that go rank players on websites that are 8th grade and 9th grade, it's asinine. So, but people have this fascination with, he showed up on a list, he must be good. Okay. So now that the NCAA has come in, and as the story progressed into last night, the NBA and USA Basketball wasn't aware that the NCAA was going to do this. Of course they weren't. But here's the issue here. So a player, Bobby Hurley or Sean Miller, has a player. Let's just use Sean Miller, and I could use Alonzo Trier or any of these guys that think that they're going to be first-round picks and they go undrafted, they get drafted really late. That's the story with U of A basketball. Oh, my gosh, this guy's going to be the greatest ever. Really? Oh, we're going to win a national title with this guy. Really? And so Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier are the two latest that came out and did not go very high or weren't taken. And so those players would be able to come back to the U of A. And when you decide that I'm leaving, when a lot of these basketball factories, they get eliminated from the NCAA, it's kind of funny how the players don't go back to class. How's that work? So they end up going off to their personal trainer. They go sign with the agent or go hire an agent, which is now going to be the new catchphrase. Why? I'm not paying an agent, really. How's the agent making his money? He thinks he's going to make jack off you? He thinks he's going to make money off of you. And so the player goes to the draft. And he doesn't get drafted. Meantime, Sean Miller's sitting out here saying, well, this guy's not here anymore, and this guy's not here anymore, so I've got to go replace my team. So when a player then comes back and says, well, coach, I didn't get drafted. What is the coach supposed to do? Like, is it gutless and heartless of the coach to take back the player who said, you know, I don't want to be here anymore because I'm going on? And the coach can't sit there and hold a scholarship open. The university is supposed to pay that player who missed to come back. It just seems to me to be ass backwards. If you're running a college basketball program, you can't sit around and wait for a guy to find out if he's going to get drafted or not. Well, we're going to hold a couple scholarships because this kid may not be drafted. It may be such a humbling experience for some of these kids. And it happens, it feels like, all the time. Kids leave school because they have their inner circle that doesn't have their best interest in mind other than just making money. Turn pro, turn pro, turn pro. Well, what do you know? We didn't make it. So I'm bumping around on a bus in Turkey. Hey, I'm making some money, but I'm in Turkey. I'm not in the NBA. Well, man, I didn't have the right agent, or I just didn't have the right people around me, or so on and so forth. Rather than look in the mirror, it's you, not your club coach, not the shoe guy, not the runner for the agency who became your buddy, your pal, even though he had no interest in you. All the nonsense that's gone on in club basketball through the years, I don't see how this solves it. We're actually, because you made a poor decision, we're actually going to take you back. We're going to make sure that the college coach hangs on to you. So let's just take this as an argument. Let's say that Alonzo Trier comes back, even though he gave the, what was the line, Eric, up in Vegas that he gave about, I was one of the top 3-point shooters in the nation. He put all that nonsense out on Twitter right before the U of A played in Vegas.
Not smart.
No. And then he doesn't get drafted. So if he comes back and Sean says, you know what? We've moved on. So suddenly he becomes a free agent. So some school who's sitting around out there, and I'll just use one that I think is a very perfect example. Eric Musselman at Nevada says, hey, come here for a year. That's perfect type of player from us. I like Eric. Eric makes no bones about it. He's turned Nevada into a top 15 program because he'll take anybody and make it work. So this ruling yesterday is going to impact some coaches and some programs in a way that I don't know if the NCAA has thought this through as usual. I'm going to talk with Stuart Mandel about it on the other side, because what does this mean? Stuart, of course, with The Athletic, and I love Stuart. He was with SI for a long time. And how does this impact football? What happens to the football kid who leaves school early and he's not drafted through 8 rounds? You know, what happens? Talk with Stuart Mandel. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's turn our attention now to, we're going to get to Arizona and Arizona State in a minute with Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief at The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic as I do. I am not a coach, as Stuart and Bruce were talking about on their podcast the other day that I listened to. You can check them out on the Audible, which is a great podcast. They were going through which coaches were subscribers. I'm just a media guy that's subscribing. But I did want to have, in all seriousness, Stuart with us via Skype on a bunch of stuff on the college football end. And then the story breaks yesterday about the NCAA and college players in basketball who declare for the NBA draft and can hire an agent. So what does this mean for the football player? Stuart joins us now via Skype. And we'll get into ASU and U of A in a minute. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us. What was your thought yesterday, reaction, Stuart, when you first heard this bit of news from the NCAA? Not a bit of news, big news from the NCAA.
Well, we've known ever since the FBI arrests and the scandal first started that the NCAA would have to do something to address it. But I think most people that follow college basketball, and especially college basketball recruiting, feel like this is just mostly for PR sake. That's not actually going to change anything. You're not going to cut out illicit payments from agents by letting high school players have agents and all that stuff. In terms of the impact on football, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, you would assume now there'll be a push for college football underclassmen to have an agent to help guide them through that decision. But it's a different sport. It's a different calendar. You know, you don't have that long window where a player can, you know, go to a combine and then maybe come back. You know, it all happens in mid-January, right after the season, and while the coaches are signing the next recruiting class. So I think there's some complications there that you'd have to figure. Would the coaches have to save scholarships, not give them to recruits in the event that, you know, a few of their kids that declared for the draft came back? It's just, it's a little bit more complicated, and it's not quite as pressing. You know, the NCAA will act when there's a scandal or something that forces them to act.
And on that, it's the, well, I wasn't drafted in the sixth round in the NFL draft, and I should have been drafted in the second. There's more rounds, there's more options for players. And when they have their inner circle giving them unrealistic, not good advice, and they think they're first round picks and they're drafted in the seventh round, I do think it's much more problematic.
I think that Nick Saban, among others, has pushed for a system, just a better system, a better way for them to get proper evaluations from the NFL. But at the end of the day, you can't necessarily tell a player who may come from a family that doesn't have money, who just doesn't want to be in college, any number of things, oh, you're not going to be a first or second round pick, therefore you have to come back to school. You know, you can give them all the information and hope that they make the right decisions. But I don't think you can legislate keeping somebody in school because you think that they're not making the right decision for themselves. That's really up to the kid and to the family.
Stuart Mandel with The Athletic. He's the editor-in-chief. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Good stuff there in his podcast. Every week, the Audible, subscribe to it online at a number of places. What is your latest view on Ohio State as we sit here today and what's going to happen with Urban Meyer?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can possibly predict whether he'll be fired, whether he'll be suspended, whether he'll be right back at his job. It all just depends on what this investigation results in. The only thing I would say is that as this period has dragged on and the national scrutiny that's come with it, I mean, it's clear that Ohio State is facing a lot of skepticism from around the country. If they bring Urban Meyer back, there's going to be an avalanche of criticism from people who've already made up their minds that he either was negligent or covered up, even possibly for somebody who he should have known to be a domestic abuser. So in order to clear that bar where he would be able to come back, the results of the investigation would have to pretty conclusively determine that he didn't do anything wrong.
There's a lot of belief that Ohio State is a playoff team. That's no secret, along with Alabama and Clemson. Does this, as you watch this, does this in the back of your mind say if it goes one way, they're suddenly not a playoff team?
Well, I think if Urban Meyer is fired, not only will they not be a playoff team, they could have a pretty miserable season. It's just, you know, interim coaches in these kind of situations, it just generally doesn't go well. The players don't have that kind of loyalty built up that they do to the head coach. There could be, especially in Ohio State's case, some issues just amongst the staff where you've got Greg Schiano and Kevin Wilson, who are both former college head coaches who got passed over for this interim tag for Ryan Day. So there's that issue. But if Urban Meyer does come back, and they said they'll resolve this one way or the other pretty quickly, I also don't necessarily think that they'll just pick up right where they left off and be a championship contender. They have that kind of talent, but this has just been a huge, huge disruption and distraction, obviously, to their season.
What's one aspect of this story, as you look at it, you cover it, do you think people are missing?
I think people are entirely focused on his handling of a 2015 allegation and whether or not they followed protocol, and that is obviously the number one question in it. But I just keep going back to, regardless of whether they did or not, why was Zach Smith allowed to stay on this staff? You know, you already hired him at Ohio State knowing he had been arrested in Florida. Now you're getting any sort of indication, whether it was what Shelley Meyer was finding out from Courtney Smith or frankly, the fact that you've been told there's another police investigation into him. There's just no reason why he should have stayed on that staff after 2015 and up until Big Ten media days. And frankly, if Brett McMurphy doesn't report about that 09 incident, he may still be on the staff today. So I'm as curious as anybody to know whether that's part of the scope of this investigation, determining, you know, whether there was a serious error in judgment there in keeping him on staff at all.
Talking with Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic, all things college football. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Let's look at Arizona and Arizona State. To you, Stuart, the more interesting story coming into this season, Kevin Sumlin, Khalil Tate, U of A, Herm Edwards coming in amid a firestorm of controversy at ASU. Which one?
I think for most people it's ASU because of the Herm Edwards experiment, but from a 2018 football standpoint, for me it's actually Arizona and Sumlin and Khalil Tate because I think they have a chance to win that division. I think they have a chance to win the South and play for the conference title. It's a wide open division, and they've got one of the best players in college football and a coach in Kevin Sumlin who has you know, mentored a Heisman Trophy winner and another NFL quarterback with Manziel and with Case Keenum. So, you know, whereas I think ASU, Herm Edwards, whether that turns out to be a success or not, that could take a few years to truly figure out.
What's your gut tell you on the ASU thing, just from the looking at it here in the offseason? I know you're not here every day. You've been in the Valley for some meetings and all that stuff. But just from a 30,000-feet view, what's your thought on Herm?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was obviously very skeptical and very critical of it at the time. I think he's done all the right things in terms of what we can see from the outside, and has definitely generated more enthusiasm for that program. And so I'm not, you know, I'm not ruling him out by any means. A lot of what I said at the time he was hired and after that wasn't even necessarily specific to Herm Edwards. I've just covered this sport long enough and seen so many instances of colleges bringing in former NFL coaches and it not working out. Pete Carroll remains that one kind of unicorn in all of this. But for the most part, if they don't have strong familiarity with the college game and all of the unique aspects that go into it, from recruiting to academics to many other things, you know, and they think they're just going to X and O and scheme it like you do in the NFL, it doesn't often work out. And in Herm's case, he has really no college experience. So it would be defying history. But, you know, as I said, he's doing things his way, and you know, he's undefeated right now. So I'm not really going to try to rain on that parade.
Sure. Michigan State, Arizona State, week two, prime time out here. That's what people are excited about. Week two, U of A plays at Houston. Ed Oliver gets his chance at Khalil Tate. I'm actually going to head down to that game. What's your view of what Khalil Tate has to work with this coming season?
Well, first of all, I don't think most people outside of the Pac-12 have truly appreciated what a season he had last year after he took the starting job, because most of those games were 10:30 at night Eastern, often on the Pac-12 network. I think that game against Houston is a chance for him to truly break out nationally. And I know it probably seems there like he already has, but you know, a lot of people will be watching that game, both for him and for Ed Oliver, a chance for people to see how special he really is. You know, I think, you know, I think that, you know, he, you know, I just answered a mailbag question about this week. You know, you think of what a great runner he was last season, and you know, he's one of the leading rushers in the country, and doing that in 9 games. But he's also a top 20 or a top 15 passer, pass efficiency rating. So the potential there, with now a year under his belt and with a proven quarterback mentor, is just, it's off the charts.
Yeah, and having Noel Mazzoni there too, I think, is a big help for him. Mm-hmm. Before I get you out of here, a team or two that you're looking forward to that's under the radar in a lot of people's minds, or maybe a player or two you're looking forward to that's under the minds of people. Player or team, pick it.
I think a team that not enough people are talking about is TCU. That program always flies under the radar. They've won 11 games three of the past 4 seasons. They were in the Big 12 championship game last year, and the window is there in the Big 12, obviously. No Baker Mayfield. You know, if you're going to get Oklahoma, this would be the year to do it. So, you know, I certainly think they're capable of winning the Big 12. And in turn, because of that, they have, you know, if you win the Big 12, you're going to be on a very short list to win the playoff, or to be in the playoff.
Good stuff, as always, Stuart. We appreciate the time. Great work over at The Athletic as you guys are getting going. It's coming up on a year now, right? I mean, it's been
great. August 28th will be the one-year anniversary. That's right.
That's good stuff. Appreciate your time, as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
Stuart Mandel with us via Skype. Appreciate him coming on board. All things around the college football front. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to turn our attention to all the fun and frivolity that is Bill Goodykuntz. Bill Goodykuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central Goody at the Movies. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm warm. It's hot outside. I'm busy. Busy's good.
Busy's good. Last week you were a tad cranky. Which I like. I like a cranky Bill. A cranky Bill is a good Bill in my book. Are you cranky today about anything?
Yes, I'm cranky about a lot of things.
Any movies that you're cranky about? Are you just going to rip through these, or is there something good this week?
There are some good things. There's something really good this week, actually.
All right.
Black Klansman is Spike Lee's best movie in a long time.
All right, let's start there then. Go through Black Klansman.
Okay, and it's based on a real story. In the late 1970s, this Colorado Springs got its first black police officer, and as you can imagine, I mean, while that was progress of a sort, it was pretty tough for him. And so they, what he did was he didn't want to be just a regular cop, and he wanted to do, you know, all these other things. So he ended up just sort of cold calling the Ku Klux Klan. They had an ad in the paper of all things, you know, looking for members. And you know, it was the phone, and he told them that he wanted to join, and they're like, you know, wow, you sound like the kind of guy that we want and all that. So they said they invited him to come to a meeting. The problem, of course, is he's black. And so what he did is he got this other guy to go for him, and it was sort of, it's kind of like a Cyrano de Bergerac thing, you know, where you like, he would talk on the phone and set this stuff up. And then Adam Driver plays the other guy who is Jewish but doesn't really consider himself Jewish, which also sort of plays into it because, you know, the Klan doesn't like Jewish people either. And there's this one sort of psycho that keeps, he's constantly telling him, he's like, you're a Jew, you're a Jew. And he's like, no, I'm not, you know. And it's just, it's really good. It's also, it's really entertaining. It's like, the thing with Spike Lee is, it's all or nothing. I mean, he goes all the way, you know. I mean, it's, and in this case, and I love him, and I spoke to him about this movie, and it was, he's got a lot to say about a lot of things. Mm. But I really liked it.
Okay, so when you have Spike Lee and you're talking to him, how much time were you given?
He called me, and I think he would have talked as long as the live long day if I had wanted to.
And the PR person usually says you can have him for 5 minutes, right? Or 8 minutes or something.
Well, now you get like, usually about 15, but we went about 20. He called up and he was like, what his PR people said was, Spike is pretty much gone rogue. He may call you any time of the day or night.
And did he?
And so was it? He did. And I was in the grocery store, and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I said, "I really like that, you know, the thing." He's like, "Thank you, sir." And we were sort of off to the races. I've talked to him a couple times before, and usually he is not as animated as you would think. Certainly not if you watch his movies. But this time, he was fired up.
So I'm just visioning you in the grocery store. And your phone rings, and it doesn't say Spike, right? It's just a number, or it says caller ID unavailable. And you're in the meat section. You're in the meat section, and you open the phone up and say, hello. Hey, it's Spike Lee. And you're in the meat section, or you're buying cereal. What do you do then?
Actually, I was in the meat section, actually.
Okay, so you're in the meat section. So what do you do? Do you drop your cart? You don't just keep looking at ground chuck. Right?
I left my cart where it was, and I walked outside.
Okay.
So we talked for about 10 minutes outside, and I finally decided, you know, I don't care if it looks crazy. I'm going back inside. This is too hot out here. So I went back, and my cart was still there in the meat section.
And Spike's still on the phone?
And we talked for 10 more minutes while I walked up and down the other aisles, you know. I went through the aisles that were not as populated, you know.
Got it.
You know, that meat belly kind of thing is always kind of crowded. So I went off to, like the baking goods or whatever.
You know, we have a script here for a show, Movie Critic, just something. And it's Spike Lee and you're in the meat section. I like that. All right, let's move on to...
I've done interviews in a lot of weird places, and the grocery store is not even close.
Strangest place you've done an interview.
I remember doing Ken Jeong outside of Jo-Ann's Fabrics. I've done a ton driving down the road with the hands-free thing going on. I'm busy, man. I do, you know.
I know, but it's like me asking an athlete, strangest place you've been recognized, and they'll say the Great Wall or something. You know,
I coached a junior high volleyball team at my kid's school, and I've had to leave practice, you know, like step outside and do an interview. But they think that's really cool.
Because it's Julia Roberts or somebody, right?
Somebody like that.
Yeah.
I remember one time there was some star of one of these young adult things, and I said, I talked to, you know, so-and-so. Maybe it was
Zac Efron.
Shailene Woodley or somebody like that. Yeah. And they were like, no. And I said, no, listen, I can play it. And I played it, and they were like, oh, no.
Yeah. Go work on your serve in the corner. I got Zac Efron on the phone.
That increases your cool factor.
Right. All right, I love getting off base with you. Let's get over to the Meg. What is the Meg?
The Meg is a megalodon, which gives nothing away because, you know, I mean, it's basically a giant prehistoric shark that Jason Statham has to fight and kill. And in my book, there's only one shark movie.
Yeah.
And that's Jaws. And it's not just a shark movie. I mean, it's one of the best movies of any kind. And this is not that. But to its credit, it does not try to be. Rainn Wilson, who I talked to for this, he's like this billionaire that owns this. He's built this sort of research facility out in the middle of the ocean. And what they're trying to do is get down below the lowest anybody's ever been in the ocean. And they get there, but they find this thing is there, and they accidentally let it out, and, you know, kind of runs around and kills people, eats people, does stuff like that. It actually doesn't eat so many people. It seems to really like to eat boats, but it'll get people too if it needs to.
So what you're telling me here is you didn't like Sharknado. That was the best. That was the best shark movie ever.
For a different reason. I mean,
critically acclaimed, that, Bill.
Well, sort of. The thing about Sharknado, and that was one of the first times, and this is actually pretty interesting. That was one of the first times that, like, people started really, like, live tweeting movies and TV shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's how that thing took off. And everybody's like, I can't believe it. And it's like, no. You know, Tara Reid is in this. This just happened. And it's like, it can't get any worse. And it's like, oh, it got worse.
Yeah, it got worse.
And, you know, the people really, people got into that. And that, I mean, they really took off. They tried to replicate that with the next ones, but you can't do that. It's got to kind of come up on its own.
All right, what about Dog Days? That's the third and final movie today, Dog Days.
It's pretty bad.
Great. Thanks for being on. See you later. Next week.
It's set in Los Angeles, and it's these sort of different stories that are tied together very loosely by the people's dogs. And as I said in my review, I said that for a movie like this, they show great restraint. They wait until, like, it's almost over to kill a dog to try to get you to cry. And somebody wrote me today and said, gee, thanks for the spoiler alert. I will never read one of your stories again, ever. it's not like the main dog or anything. It's just this kind of tangential dog that they throw in there to kill to make you feel that. So, I mean, my only response was, great. If it's not worth overreacting, it's not worth overreacting at all. You know, and that. So
I'm watching
it.
I'm watching the clip right now. It looks dreadful. I mean, it just looks like I would hang myself if I had to watch this. So it's not happening.
But again, I mean, they hold off on the, killing something. I'll tell you what. There's about this movie. Tig Notaro, who's a comic, and Thomas Lennon, who was in a lot of cool shows like Reno 911, and shows up in a lot of things, and whoever plays the weather person, this woman who plays. Those three people in this movie are bizarre and weird and hilarious. And it's like they're in a totally different movie. And they just show up every from time to time for 30 seconds here, 45 seconds there. And it's like, I would love to watch a movie with that crowd. That was fantastic. But it's just in the middle there, no particular reason. There it is. But
all right. Yeah. Before you get out of here, give me in 20 seconds the most eagerly anticipated movie for you that is coming up between now and the end of the year?
I don't know. Because there's so many things come out that you don't even know about, that they'll tell you. I just don't know, because there's been so much good stuff now. I mean, Black Klansman was so great. I mean, Sorry to Bother You, so great.
Mission Impossible was good from what I heard.
Mission Impossible is good, but in a different way. I mean, Mission Impossible is going to be up there that new popular Oscar, or whatever it's going to be called.
Yeah.
That they're introducing. So.
All right. I'll talk to you next week, if not soon.
All righty.
See ya. Here's Good Eat the Movies. That was very entertaining today. Eric, have you booked a guest in a weird spot before, where you're out and you're like doing something and you've just got to stop because X guest has got to come on?
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. You can't see me because I took my camera down, but you can hear me.
Oh, I can hear you.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So,
you were thinking
I'm
the show
sure,
was over. You're trying to get out of here.
No, I just, you, I, we had to take my camera down to Skype. And
I got you.
Things
got you.
Behind the glass that you have no idea about. But
yeah, that's right. You're right about that. You
that
are
I don't really
about.
Even have any idea about. But yeah, oh, I had to step out of a couple dinners to text back a couple guests. That didn't really go over well in a former life, but that's okay.
I got you. Good stuff. Well, you're not in a former life. You're in a present life. Stuart Mandel, Goody at the Movies, with us today. We have plenty of content that we are going to go work on now over on our website. If you've not been to our website before, check it out. If you just found us, we're here pretty much every day doing our thing. Sports360AZ.com is the website, and there's plenty of content up there for you to check out. Have a great day.